Hey everyone, welcome to LifeBridge Online. If you're new, please text the number on the screen. We'd love to get to know you and how we can support you during this crazy time in our world. You know, it's tough these days watching the news, and a great reminder to keep gathering together like this to refocus our perspective through worship, through the truth of God's word, and through how we invest what God has given us to create good news. I mean, check this out. Because of your generosity, we have served meals to every first responder in Longmont. Not only that, but they've received Starbucks gift cards as a token of our appreciation. Also, our LifeBridge students have bought and made and distributed care kits to many of our community's homeless. And also, we've built a home through the Ministry of Habitat for Humanity for a family in Lyons. And not only were we involved practically in the building, but we've donated thousands of dollars to that ministry to help. So your generosity is making a difference. So keep worshiping, keep serving, and keep investing so that we can keep being the church. If you'd like to give as part of your worship today, you can do so online. The link's on the screen. Our God calls us each by name to walk in His love. So no matter how dark things get, remember we are always walking in His light. Let's respond in worship.
Come on, sing this with me. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? You was my tomb till I made you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried.
If you know it, sing it with us.
You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name.
The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
Come on.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I can't.
Hey guys, it's great to see you. If this is your first time checking things out with us, welcome to LifeBridge Online. We're really glad that you're with us. For the last 4 weeks, we've kind of taken a pause on the series that we were in just to talk about the real stuff that's going on in our world. Well, today we want to step back into that series. We're going to pick it back up, and it's a series that we were calling Playlist. And you can catch any of those online if you missed any of that series, but let me give you the premise. I'm assuming that you're like me and that you've got multiple different playlists that you listen to, whether that's on Spotify or Amazon Music or whatever platform you like to use. I've got multiple different playlists. I've got a playlist for when I'm working out. I've got a playlist that's just good vibes that I listen to at home or driving. I've got a playlist that I listen to before I go play basketball. I'm gonna get fired up. I've even got a playlist that I listen to only when I'm hiking or driving in the mountains. Like, we all have different playlists for different purposes and for different times. Well, God's people in the Old Testament, they were the exact same way. They had a playlist of songs that they would sing 3 times a year when they would travel to Jerusalem to celebrate the 3 major festivals, these huge parties that were all about celebrating who God is, what He's done, and what He will do. So basically, it was a road trip playlist. That's exactly what it was. And the name of that playlist is called the Songs of Ascents. It's Psalm 120 to 134. And for me, the more I dig down into the Psalms, the more I love them because they're just raw. You get the full gamut of human emotions and experiences. And what the Psalms do is they take exactly what's going on in our individual lives right now, what we're experiencing in the world. The Psalms take those things and then they translate it for us. Because what people were struggling with back then is the same stuff we're struggling with today. How people thrived back then is how we thrive now. I mean, that's what's so awesome about God's Word. It's always relevant. It's always relevant. There's always application for us. There's always something that can relate to what we're going through right now. Because God is a God that speaks. And His primary mode of communication is His Word. That's the Bible. Psalm 120 is the very first song on this playlist, and it's the first one for a reason. This is a road trip playlist. I mean, Psalm 120 is the first step that we've got to take if we want to have any kind of chance at real purpose and real meaning. Because life's a journey. Like, we're all going somewhere. And maybe we know where we're going. Maybe we're not sure where we're heading. Maybe we have no clue what direction we're going at all in this road trip called life. I mean, what if we're going in the wrong direction? What if we've been heading towards a dead end? What if the GPS has been wrong from the very get-go? What if the guy that we asked for directions, what if he flat out lied to us? That's what Psalm 120 is talking about. The writer of this song is anonymous, but there's a lot of people that think it might have been Hezekiah, who was actually one of the good kings of Israel. Here's how the song goes. It says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to Him and He answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will He increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer in far-off Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace. But when I speak of peace, they want war. I mean, that sounds like a very pleasant song, doesn't it? I mean, seriously, is that really the kind of song that you want to start off a road trip playlist to? I don't think you want to start with a song like that. It sounds depressing. Maybe it actually is the one you want to start off with. So here's the reality. It says, I suffer in Meshech. It pains me to live in distant Kedar. And I'm tired of living among people who hate peace, who just love violence. And that's the reality. Meshech was a distant country that was northeast of Israel. Kedar was a nomadic tribe of people that roamed around the borders of Israel. And both of them had a very, very bad reputation. They were both known for being very violent. They loved to fight. Meshech was actually known for human trafficking. They traded people for personal possessions and material things. They traded people for stuff. Both of them were known for being barbaric. That was the reputation. And that's saying something back in the ancient world. So this guy is saying, hey, I don't want to live among these people anymore. The bottom line was, you don't want to be around people like this, people that love violence. And we can understand this plea, like, God, will you get me away from people like this? Get me away from people that are violent and barbaric and that are just evil. Get me away from people like this. Like, we can understand that, right? Because nobody wants to be around people that are barbaric. Nobody wants to live among people that are violent, that their national pastime is fighting and trying to hurt each other. We can understand this plea. And maybe you've been there before. Maybe you know what this is like. Actually, I know we all know what this is like, because all of us know what it's like to be around people that hate peace and love violence. Everybody says that they want peace. Everybody says that. But everywhere you look, we just see violence. Why is that? I mean, sure, we see violence on the news, and maybe we've even seen it with our own eyes, but violence goes well beyond the physical. I mean, specifically today, violence means destroying, harming, or trying to kill. That's way beyond just physical in our day and age. I mean, look, the words that people say to each other today are so violent, so violent. They're meant to harm people like the words are arrows. I mean, the gossip that we spread today, it's violent. It kills relationships. The way we label people that disagree with us is violent. That's meant to destroy reputations and character. The lies that we hear today, and God forbid, the lies that we tell, they're violent. They're an assault on truth. Everywhere we look today in 2020, everywhere we look today, there's violence. And Psalm 120 says, I know, right? I had violence with me. See, you guys, you know what I'm talking about. God, can you take care of this? Can you get rid of this violence? Can you take me away from people that lie? I'm tired of lies. Take me to something better, God. My great-great-grandfather came to the United States in 1862 or 1863. The details aren't clear on how he actually got over here, but we know that he left Germany. He crossed Europe, he crossed the Atlantic, and he ended up in Ohio. We're also not sure exactly why he left and came to the U.S. It might have been social reasons. He and his siblings were all born out of wedlock, and maybe that was unacceptable where he lived. But the more probable reason for him leaving was he was trying to avoid war. In that time period in the area of Germany where he was living, there was war going on. So maybe he was fleeing his country, he was fleeing his home to avoid violence. Sounds exactly like Psalm 120. He was leaving for something better, trying to find a better place, a better life, a better future. And isn't that the story of immigration in American history? People leaving their homes, fleeing their countries, fleeing oppression or injustice or pain or death, getting away from lack of opportunity, lack of a future. They're trying to find something better, a better place, a better life, a better future. And that's exactly the same journey that Christianity is. I mean, we all want that. If you're tired of all of the pain and the violence, and if we're tired of the feeling of hopelessness, we're tired of being disappointed that the same things keep happening over and over and over again. It's a tired story. If we're tired of all the lies. Like, rescue me, O Lord, from liars and all people that are deceitful, just like the song says. So what are they? You know, what are the lies that we're sick of? What are the lies that we need to be rescued from today? Well, I think it all boils down to one thing. I mean, think about all the things that would be considered the biggest problems in our world today. Abuse, injustice, oppression, racism, innocent people being hurt, disease, human trafficking. I mean, you can add whatever you want to that list. Think about those things for a second. I mean, just chew on them. Like, really think about them. Abuse, racism, people being hurt. Think about those things. How does that make you feel? I mean, of course it's wrong. It feels, it stirs up anger, right? It stirs up sadness. We're frustrated. And there's also something about those things and thinking about those things that it just feels so unnatural, doesn't it? These things are not supposed to be here. Like, there's something off. Like, child abuse shouldn't happen. That shouldn't be a thing. Oppression shouldn't happen to any group of people. Justice should be the norm, not the exception. Innocent people being hurt, that shouldn't be a thing. 40-year-olds aren't supposed to die from cancer. Global pandemics aren't supposed to happen. Human trafficking, that sounds like a term that should be used for rush hour, not referring. It shouldn't refer to the estimated 40 million people that are slaves around the world today. All that stuff seems so unnatural. And it is unnatural. But the unnatural has become the reality. The unnatural is not the lie. The lie is that we can take care of it. The lie is that we can fix this on our own. Now, I'm not saying we just throw up our hands and quit, like, oh, this is too hard, this is pointless, let's just give up. No, absolutely not. We never quit striving for justice and reconciliation and redemption and restoration. We always pursue those things. But it's in the pursuit of those things where the actual lie is hidden. Just look at history. We are not the first generation to stand up against oppression. We're not. We're not the first people to fight for justice. We're not the first people to stand up and speak up for racial equality. We are not the first. Now again, don't hear me say something I'm not. I'm not saying that we shouldn't. We absolutely should stand up. We should speak up. We should fight for those things. No question. But we're not the first. And yet all those problems still exist. Why? It's because we've been chasing the lie. The lie is that mankind can obtain his own salvation. This hero complex comes over us. We can fix this. I don't know, maybe it's just stubbornness, but we believe we are the means of our own salvation. That's the lie. And the historical fact that we are not the first people to deal with the issues of today, and yet they still exist, proves that we've been buying into this lie as long as things like injustice or oppression or abuse or whatever you want to add to that list, as long as those things have existed, we've bought into this lie. Yeah, we should want those fixed. Yeah, we should pursue making our world right. Absolutely. But where we make our mistake is when we believe that we can make this right without Jesus. Marches are great. Fantastic. It's a great way to stand up and speak up together. But the brokenness is still here. Legislation, it's awesome. Great. But laws cannot prevent, let alone fix, brokenness. Law can't do that. Elections are a gift. It's a gift. But every election cycle, we have candidates that promise us something better, that promise to fix the problem. And here we are, right back in the exact same spot, over and over and over again. We the people can fix this. We the people can save ourselves. We the people can make this right. But on our own, we can't. Only the gospel has the power to make things right and fix things. Only the gospel has the power to save. And only when we pursue justice, reconciliation, and restoration with Jesus, only then are we going to see what we hope to see. Only then are we going to see the unnatural being undone. More than I'd like to admit, I have refused at times to allow Jesus to be for me, to be over me, and to be in me. And I've made that mistake. I don't know, have you made that mistake? That's what's wrong today. That's what was wrong yesterday, and that's what will be wrong tomorrow, unless we acknowledge the truth that Jesus is the one that saves, and then we confront the lie that we can save ourselves. I've tried to save myself so many times, whether it's through my own effort and passion, desire, whatever. I've tried to be a savior for different things in the world, go on crusades. Instead of just letting Jesus save me and then being a part of the work that he's already doing to right the wrongs, to replace oppression with freedom, to bring justice. Jesus is the one that's undoing the unnatural. We can do it with him. But we cannot do it without him. And maybe this is the crossroads that you're at right now. Now, if you are tired of seeing violence on the news and in social media, If you are tired of elections, hoping that something might turn around, if you're done hoping for some scientific breakthrough that's going to make the world a better place and have a better life, if you're done hoping for a pay raise that will get you to some level that you think is going to bring you a level of security that you want, if you're sick of living in a world that hates peace, if you're sick of the lies, if you're dissatisfied with the ways of our world, if that's the crossroads that you're at right now, then you might be at the most important crossroads that you will ever come to, because a person who is fed up with the ways of the world can have an appetite for a life with Jesus. Is that you? And I'm just done with all this. I'm just dissatisfied. I'm sick of all this stuff. There's some emptiness. There's a hole. I'm just so done with all of this. Is that you? And that was absolutely me. I'd put my hope in all different kinds of things, you know, money, status, my own talent, my own grit, put my hope in all different kinds of things, the ways of the world. And I even used the ways of the world when I claimed to be a Christian, and all of it fell short. It all fell short. But when I finally got sick of the ways of our world, when I got fed up with all that, it all started for me when I finally got fed up with the ways of the world. That's when I started to have an appetite for Jesus. That's when my relationship with Jesus really started to take off. Coincidentally enough, that's also when my love for people in the world started to grow. Not love for the ways of our world, but love for the people that live in our world, because I want them to have what I have. I want them to have the same hope and joy and peace and realness that I've gotten in Jesus. And that all started when I became dissatisfied with our world. And it doesn't mean things aren't hard. But when I've refused to put myself first, when I've allowed Jesus to be for me, when I've allowed him to be over me, and when I've allowed him to be in me, man, that's when everything changed. When I stopped believing the lie, that's when everything changed. Don't believe the lie that the world can fix itself. Don't believe that lie. Don't believe the lie that man can obtain his own salvation. Don't believe it. Man, the more you're dissatisfied with the world, that's actually a gift, because dissatisfaction plus a desire for peace and truth, that can lead to knowing Jesus, growing in Jesus, and a desire to introduce other people to Jesus. That's exactly what happened to me. Dissatisfaction leads to real satisfaction. In fact, dissatisfaction in your life is an invitation to turn to Jesus. It's exactly how Psalm 120 starts off. He's like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm fed up with everything that's around me. I'm fed up with the world. I'm fed up with its ways. I'm dissatisfied. I hate the lies. I'm done with this, God. Will you just take care of this? Will you give me something else? And then here's the really good part. It says, he answered my prayer. He answered my prayer. It's a simple prayer. I mean, take whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever burden you've got, whatever stressing you out, whatever you're frustrated with, whatever you've been hurt by, whatever you're dissatisfied with, take that to God in prayer and just say, can you do something with this? And he will. And he'll answer you if you listen. Right now, you and I, we've got an opportunity to turn to Jesus. Right now, you and I have got an opportunity to take our next step with Jesus. And let me lay out the first step for you, because the first step is always the biggest. The first step towards Jesus is a step away from the ways of the world. It's a step away from the lies of the world. The lie that you and I can save ourselves. The lie that truth is whatever you and I want it to be. The lie that you and I can be our own God. The lie that we have the answers to it all within us. The lie that we can make all this right. The first step is stepping away from those lies and stepping towards God's truth. And this is for everyone. If this is the very first time you're hearing this, if you're not a Christian, this is for you. If you've been following Jesus as a Christian for decades, this is for you too. This is for everyone. This is just as much for me as a pastor as it is for somebody who may be an atheist. You will never be past stepping away from the lies of the world, because every single day you're going to have an opportunity to say yes to those lies. The biblical word for saying no to the lies of the world and saying yes to God's truth is repentance. It's saying no and stepping away from the lies and saying yes and accepting and stepping towards Jesus, stepping towards God's truth. Now I know that as soon as I say the word repentance, there's some baggage that can be attached to that. Maybe as soon as you heard me say that, you flinched, or maybe you tensed up a little bit, or maybe even you just started to blow me off. Like, all right, that's it. I'm done with this. I've heard this song and dance before. Let's be done. Man, I get it. There's baggage attached to repentance, unfortunately. Like, maybe your only experience with repentance was somebody demanding you to repent. Like, you need to repent! And that's it. Just demanded you to repent instead of walking alongside you with grace and truth. Maybe your experience with repentance only came when it was attached with a threat of hell. Maybe repentance for you was only a strictly religious practice that you had to live up to. And if you messed up once, then you're a disappointment. There's so much baggage and misunderstanding attached to repentance, and I understand why, but it saddens me because repentance was never meant to be a consequence or a burden. It's actually a gift because it's meant to bring freedom. It brings truth. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings purpose. Here's the thing about Psalm 120. Because it's a road trip song, it's a song about a journey to a specific place. Well, following Jesus is a journey too. It's a journey to a specific purpose. That purpose is for you to know God, to enjoy Him in a relationship, and be a part of the work that He's doing of redeeming and restoring the world. That's the purpose that you've been invited to. That's what repentance offers. There's a guy named Eugene Peterson, and he says this. I love this. He says, repentance, the first word in Christian immigration. It sets up on the way to traveling in the light. It is rejection that is also acceptance. It's a leaving that develops into an arriving. A no to the world that is a yes to God. Man, a rejection that turns into an acceptance. A leaving that develops into an arriving. That's so true. I love the way he says that. So let me give you a suggestion on where to start. Start by rejecting the lies of the world. Start by rejecting personal sin. And by doing that, you're also accepting God's truth. You're also accepting God's grace. And not only that, God's accepting you, flaws and all. Like, God's accepting you because you've accepted the truth that Jesus is God. You've accepted His grace and forgiveness that He obtained for you on the cross. So God accepts you as a son and daughter, not because of things that you have done or things that you haven't done. He accepts you as a son or daughter because of what Jesus already did for you on the cross. And then leaving the world means that you're also arriving in God's kingdom. Yeah, we still live in the world, absolutely. It just means that we're not a part of it. We don't love the ways of the world. We love the people that live in our world. And now we are a part of God's purpose of redeeming and restoring the world to Himself. That's where real meaning, real purpose, real authenticity, real joy comes from. That's what repentance gives you and invites you to be a part of that purpose. That's what Psalm 120 is all talking about. And it says it in the very beginning. This is the first step. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to Him, and He answered my prayer. And I want to encourage you. I want to plead with you. Today, take a step towards Jesus. Like, maybe that step is just laying it all out in prayer. You're taking a bunch of stuff to Him in prayer. And listen, because He answers prayer. Maybe the next step for you is to be baptized. It's acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're saying, I want Jesus. Maybe that next step is to get baptized. Maybe the next step is to have a conversation with someone where you can ask questions. Maybe they can help you identify, hey, here's what your next step is. Every single one of us has a next step. They all are going to be different, but every single one of us, no matter who you are or what your story is, we all have a next step. Have the courage to take that next step towards Jesus. We are a church that will give each other courage to take that next step, and we won't take it alone because we walk together. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your word and that it meets us right where we're at right now. God, repentance has gotten to be a word that has been misused, it's been abused, it's been misunderstood, but would you give us a heart to repent, to live a life of saying no to the lies that we see in our world and saying yes to your truth, that we would follow you, that we would give each other the courage to take steps. Father, I know that right now you are working on somebody. Somebody's hearing your word. Somebody's hearing this right now, and they're wrestling with the next step that they need to take. I pray that you would give them courage and peace to take that step. A step to confess to you, a step to bring stuff to you in prayer. give people the courage to take the step of baptism, and help us as a church give each other courage to walk in that purpose, to take steps together and never do it alone. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Continue to celebrate the goodness of God, we are going to take communion together. And I love the words of the Apostle Paul to the Romans when he said that God loves us, that even in our sin and our darkness, that Christ died for us. And we know the rest of that gospel story is that 3 days later, Christ arisen from the grave, making a way for us to have a brand new life here and now in this world, but also paving the way for us to be connected to him through eternity. So I'm excited to take communion with you today, church. Communion is such a powerful thing in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. And so we want to give our thanksgiving and our praise to God for who he is and for what he's done for us. But we also want to celebrate the goodness that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so no matter where you are right now, no matter where you find yourself right now, we want to just invite you to find a piece of bread or some crackers or really anything that you have near you that can represent the body of Jesus that was broken for you. You can take that when we continue in a moment. But and also, along with the bread and the crackers, we invite you to find some juice or find something to drink that will symbolize the blood of Christ that was shed for you, that covers all of your sins, past, present, and future. And so if you're at a place today where you're not very comfortable in taking communion, that's okay. That's okay. You can just, we just invite you to contemplate the goodness of God as we continue on in worship with that. But after this, there's going to be some words on the screen. You can follow along with that as we take communion, as we remember, as we give thanksgiving, and as we celebrate the goodness of God together. And church, as always, you can worship God. You can continue to worship God through your generosity by giving online. Thank you so much for your faithfulness.